Welcome to our podcast. We'd like to just sit and talk. Chris and Kyle will tell a joke or two and maybe throw in a bit of style with the movies and TV, video games, comics, and more. So sit back and listen, cause fun is in store. Maybe.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 6 of Media Sandwich Reheated. I'm Chris.
I'm Kyle.
Yeah, we're excited because we haven't recorded in like a month.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
Has been a hot minute. We liked the function of last time's I'm not going to use any proper terms for this time. We liked the function of last time's episode, which means we liked the format in that it was about an hour.
Yeah, we also liked
an hour made sense.
We liked the hour. We also liked being face to face. We don't get a chance to do that this time, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, hopefully more in the future, but because it's an hour, I have set an alarm on my phone starting about now. We have an hour. We will know we were out of time when we hear what is officially known as the shit's going down music from the movie Akira.
The shit's going down music, that's what it's known officially
as? The
shit's
going down music is officially, in my mind, you may know it colloquially as Tetsuo, the theme that it plays for Tetsuo in the movie. If you hear that, it means we have passed our hour and we must end this podcast.
Or you'll hear my wife like kicking down the door going, okay, you're done. Your podcast time is over with.
Interestingly, when she enters a room, the same music plays.
I'm telling her you said that.
Don't tell her shit.
No, that'll be meaningless to her. She's never seen Akira and I don't think she ever will.
Probably better. Some people don't need to see that movie.
I think I tried explaining it to her once and her reaction was... That sounds really unpleasant. I'm like, yeah, kinda.
Well, as, of course, an end-of-the-year episode, we get to talk about some end-of-the-year things. I think first we're going to talk about a little bit of Last Jedi. I didn't see it. You did. You have an interesting story about spoiling your spoilers.
Yeah,
we'll start with that.
I did. I saw that Star War. And
you did saw that Star War.
I did done saw that Star War. And... I'll put up a full review of it probably on the blog via my Letterboxd reviews that I do because I was really excited to see a recent movie and write a review of it. Sometimes I do that.
Yeah.
And that'll go up, but without saying anything, I liked it a whole bunch. I have a lot of feelings, a lot of complicated feelings about it. But as far as my story goes... So, spoilers are a big, big, big thing about this movie. Even more so than Force Awakens, it feels like. The internet just grumbled for a full week. Don't spoil this Star Wars movie.
And we will not be spoiling this for you, because I haven't seen it. So if Kyle spoils it for you, he spoils it for me, and the call ends now.
No, I'm not gonna.
And possibly our friendship.
No, I'm not gonna. Even within the context of this story, I won't even say the thing that... Well, I'll just get into it.
Yes.
Yeah, so a couple of days prior to the film's release, I got a new Twitter follower, seemed like a cool person, followed them back. I do that. If you want to follow me on Twitter, at Kyle Martinak, I'll probably follow you back. I've got few people. I'm not Chris famous.
And to be fair, I will follow some people back. If I see you pop up enough and we seem to have a good rapport, I might follow you back. So I'm not unapproachable. I at least do respond to a lot of people when they talk to me, because I thankfully am large enough that I can get, for lack of a better term, randos, but small enough that I can respond to everybody who wants to say something to me, even if it's a question, if it's responding to my comments or they have an own comment or whatever. Not important. Move on, Kyle.
Moving on. I like a lot of tweets too. I'll click that heart button that used to be a star or a horseshoe or
I think it just said like.
Maybe it was a pots of golden rainbows, horses and blue moons.
It was a favorites button. It used to be your favorites.
Sure.
Now it's still considered favorites, but we know it as a like.
It's a like.
I do that too. I heart pretty much every tweet that says something to me that's nice, I heart it.
And that's what I was doing with this person. I followed them. They seem like a big Star Wars fan. I'm like, right on, cool. I am too. Chris will tell ya, going way back, during the dark ages of Star Wars, I was a staunch supporter, and I was Well, I was singled out as a Star Wars person for that very reason. Mm-hmm. But anyways, this person, I follow them back, and they proceed to spend two solid days just, oh, nobody better spoil this movie for me. Don't you dare spoil this Star Wars movie. If you see it before me and then you spoil it, I'ma come calling and I'm gonna knock your teeth in. Yada, yada, yada. Just real, real big fighting words about don't spoil this Star Wars movie. And I'm like, right on, I feel the same way. If anybody spoils this movie for me, I'm going to be pretty pissed off. And then she evidently saw it. Mm-hmm. The opening night, so like the Wednesday midnight showings at Wednesday, I think. Whatever the...
I can't remember. It was weird when, like, this one... There's no such thing as a midnight showing.
No. Midnight showings are now at, like, 8 or 9 p.m. So...
Yeah,
but anyways, evidently she saw it as early as possible because it took 3 hours from when you earliest could have seen this Star Wars movie that she started dropping things. And the first one that I saw was not a big plot point. As it turns out, in retrospect, now that I've seen the movie, it isn't a plot point at all. It isn't. But it's something like... She said enough in the tweet to make me go, oh, that gives away a lot. Or rather, I can extrapolate a lot from that, and now I know more than I wanted to. I'm an adult, so that's not a big deal for me, but I was just like, oh man, you can't spend a couple of days like doing that, like just a screed into the internet going, don't say anything about this movie. And then the second you see it, you spend the entire opening weekend of this movie saying everything on your mind about it. I've recently seen she has, because I followed her again. But I was like, okay, I can't handle this. And I unfollowed until I saw the movie. Because I live a long time on social media, because I spend a long time on trains. And that's pretty much it. But I went in knowing one or two little things that I extrapolated from that one thing that was dropped in my feed. But the thing that bummed me out so much was that it was like, okay, you literally lasted 3 hours before you had to say something. come on. But anyways.
That's... So did you find out then early that Rey's parents are porgs?
You know, it was a bold choice making the Porgs the actual heirs to the Jedi.
They're the last Jedi, right?
Yeah. Like the Porgs all combine into one giant, massive Porg, and then
now the Porgs were a result of Chewbacca getting wet after midnight, right?
Oh no, the Porg gets wet and then it turns into a Wookiee.
Gotcha.
That's where Chewie originally came from.
That makes sense.
Yes, but the little Chinese man who sold it to Han Solo said, don't get it wet and don't feed it after midnight. And Han Solo said, I live in space, it's always midnight, so that doesn't matter. And
do they have Chinese men in Star Wars?
Oh, they do now.
Oh, they do now? Oh, wow, they found a China planet?
Well, I think there was one Asian person in all of the original trilogy, and he is on screen just for his death sequence. But
didn't they made like the Trade Federation in the prequel trilogy? Weren't they like the evil guys? Were very not thinly veiled like Asian stereotypes?
Oh yes, they're supposed to be like 80s Japanese businessmen. I feel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At least, I mean, I don't know. I don't know all the bad racial stereotypes, but it seemed to tick a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
But yeah. But those aren't those aren't Asian people. Those were white people in makeup pretending to be Asian.
True.
Which is even worse.
Speaking of spoilers, I can definitely talk to that a little bit about Mario Odyssey, which has now at this point been out for over a month. Dang, when did that come out? Is that end of October?
Right. We teased in our last episode that you were going to talk Mario Odyssey, and I was going to talk Wolfenstein: The New Order.
Yeah, and so the way this episode's going to work is we're going to do a little bit more high level of the year in review of kind of things we saw, things we played, things we did, Since it's the end of the year, and it's exciting, and we're happy about that. So I'm actually going to run through every single Switch game I played, which is a lot of games, so I'm going to Switch, and I'm going to give my rankings and whatnot. Including Breath of the Wild, even though I didn't play it on Switch, I'll still give you my ranking for it, which is... There it is.
Whoa.
And, whoa, we'll come back to that, we'll swing back. But first, Mario Odyssey came out end of October. I was really kind of disappointed how much Nintendo itself showed officially in trailers. They showed all this game. The only things they really saved were the final level, the bonus levels, and like one big kingdom that was outside of that. And there's some smaller kingdoms they didn't show, but they kind of alluded to here and there, which was a shame because I thought this is your big game and you can show basically one or two kingdoms and there's a lot to do in each of them. And you could have shown one or two that's just got people hyped, but they showed like everything. And I was really disappointed in that. Like, well, surprise me, Nintendo. And sure enough, they were going to have some surprises, even after they were showing so much in official capacity. And all the Nintendo Directs, all the trailers they were dropping, and promotional stuff. Their Twitter account was just rife with stuff. So some people just went completely blackout. I know that my friend Arlo from Twitter and YouTube, he went almost blackout, trying to see, hoping some stuff wasn't spoiled. And of course, he was... still disappointed, like, they still show too much.
This was your version of The Last Jedi.
To some extent, and I thought, well, I don't really mind Mario spoilers as much because, what are you really going to spoil it with me with? Like, Mario's going to jump. As long as you don't spoil a secret from the end, because the whole point of a Mario game, all the big Mario games have kind of established, hey, there's a 100% completion bonus, or at least there's... complete the game and do a certain criteria and you're going to unlock more. What's the more? That's what I don't want spoiled. Well, there's a kingdom that you unlock at the end of this, of the main story, that just unlocks as soon as you beat it. Beat the main game, you unlock it. And it's phenomenal because it's a huge nod to past games, and I'm not going to really get into spoilers here for that. Because if you haven't played, it's not fair of me to say, oh, it's been out for almost 2 months now, you should play it. No, this isn't even before Christmas time of the year that this game comes out. That's really, really crappy to act like, oh, people, you just, it's been out for 2 months, it's been out for a month, it's been out for a day. Like, no, don't ever act that way. There's certain limits of, yeah, you can spoil The Sixth Sense at this point. It's been out for, what, 20 years?
Yeah, you can spoil The Sixth Sense, yeah. That's fine.
I feel like... I don't know. It's hard to say with certain things. With stuff for like a launch year for a game system, I think you got to give it a lot more time. Because the Switch launched in March. And some of these games just came out more recently. Breath of the Wild came out in March. I think now spoiler time has passed. You can spoil stuff. But you still have to consider, well, a lot of people are going to be getting the Switch for Christmas. A lot of people are going to be buying it after Christmas because they're going to get the money.
That's true.
And whatnot. And it's going to move into next year. And it's going to be like there's going to be waves. You're going to hit it Christmas and New Year's. You're going to hit it Easter. You're going to hit it summer. You're going to hit it back again Black Friday. So Mario Odyssey was, you know, basically the Black Friday thing. And now it'll be the Christmas thing. Don't spoil this for people. And I was so bummed that even then I got it day one, night one. Started playing it then. And within the next... day or so, I can't remember how long it was. It was maybe I got it the Thursday night, played a little bit, came into work on Friday, and played it a little bit sparingly over the weekend, thinking, okay, well, I'm going to take my time and enjoy this on my pace. By Wednesday, someone that I'd followed, a friend, was using the Switch's screenshot posting feature to post directly to Facebook or Twitter, both really. And he's posting screenshots from this bonus kingdom at the end. And then he posts like, and here's a special surprise from this, here's a special surprise from that. I'm like, it's not even been a week. Come on. And I was just so furious because I'm like, this is literally the only thing that Nintendo didn't show. And you just casually just, well, it's been not even a whole, it's been like 5 days. It's been 4 days. Here you go. There it is. This is the one last secret that you... if you had seen it when you would normally have seen it, it would have just made you feel so happy. Because, wow, you didn't expect that. How could you expect that? You probably would have expected if you knew it was like something like that was going to come, but you didn't expect this. But I saw it, and I'm like, oh, okay. So when the thing happened, it turns out, like, you don't have to get to the end of the game to see it, because during the course of the game, there are some moons you can get by, you find these paintings in a world, mm-hmm. in a kingdom, and when you jump through it, it like, warps you to, like, a little island, like, outside of the normal, like, main stage of other kingdoms, so that you can't jump from it into the kingdom, generally, but it's kind of cool, because, there's one in each one, each kingdom has that, and it's, some of them are, like, hey, you're going to sing this kingdom in a couple kingdoms from now. It's kind of like a teaser. And some of them are, hey, you're going to have to come back to this one because a later stage is going to warp you back to one earlier. So it's kind of cool. So every so often you see like a teaser of, oh, this kingdom's yet to come. I can't wait to come there. And it does this with this final bonus extra one at the end. And from that, it's like, whoa, it's a really big moment. And it happens, you know, maybe halfway through the game, if even that. It's not actually that far into the game before you find this little like, whoa, this kingdom's waiting for me, and this is what the moons look like, and this is what's happening. Like, that's exciting, but still, I didn't get to that yet, because I was going slowly my first week, because I had stuff at work and life, and so I was just really bummed, like, man, he didn't even give me a week to try to get through this, and I don't even think he knows. I never, like, called him out on it, like, way to go, dude, but it was like, still sucked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are certain pieces of media that I will chase a lot harder because those are the things I can't handle being behind on. Game of Thrones was,
yeah.
I think Game of Thrones is the first TV show in a long time where I was like, nope, I have to be current with this. People online cannot help themselves. And that, like, yeah, that's, I think, the last TV show that I can do that with. Games, I let myself fall behind. Like, that's the reason why I'm not talking about Wolfenstein the New Colossus. I'm talking about Wolfenstein the New Order, because I never played it, because instead I had another kid.
Mm-hmm.
But when I launched the book, I bought the dual pack of the New Order and the Old Blood for like $20, and that was my victory prize. And now that I've played through the New Order, I'm like, I'm so glad that I'm playing this several years after everybody else has, because I'm experiencing it for the first time, and I can say, whoa, 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 okay, that happened. Is there everybody see this? And
yeah,
nobody cares, because everybody else had it forever ago. But
yeah,
I understand where you're coming from, like, especially with a game, when something like that is revealed to you before you get to it yourself. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, it's
well,
part of earning.
Well, what's worse is
that
the worst thing is I was probably a day before I actually saw it myself.
Yeah.
After I saw that reveal, I got to it myself about a day or two later. So I'm like, I was that close to the game that made, like, the game that I bought a Switch for.
Yeah.
Mind you, this is the game I bought the Switch to play, because I said, I'm not going to be able to wait on that. I'm going to need that crack now. And I got that crack now. So I was really ticked. I'm like, it's not like I bought it and let it sit. Like, I bought it and I was playing it at a ginger pace. I don't know if that's the correct term.
Gingerly.
When you say a ginger
pace, you're talking about how fast I play video games.
There you go. I was playing at a Kyle's pace for at least the first couple days. And then as soon as I kicked it into Chris' pace for a gameplay, I ripped through that game fast. I 100%ed that game in under a month. I think I took 3 weeks to 100% it, and at no point did I ever get stuck on anything.
That's pretty aggressive.
Proud of myself for that. It was very aggressive, and I'll talk a little bit. We'll swing back to that. But first, let's talk about some of our favorite things of the year, because I want to make sure we talk about favorite things of the year.
Okay, cool.
So, since we're on games, let's gently touch on what was your favorite game of this year, Kyle, that you played, and of course, doesn't have to be a game that came out this year. Can be a game that came out any year, but that you played this year.
That's good, because I'm racking my brain trying to think, have I played any game that came out this year? Actually, well, nope. I think the most recent game that I played did come out last year. So I won't talk about that because I actually haven't played that one in a bit. But I will say that my favorite game that I've played this year, other than the New Order, which I'll talk about the New Order separately, because I like it for different reasons. I did play Skyrim for the first time this year, and it did technically come out this year.
It did,
because
at least on Switch.
Well, yeah, but I played the Xbox One HD version, but I had never played it before and dove in. I knew what to expect because
it dove in to the Dovahkiin. Thank you, everyone. That's the best joke I'll tell all night.
Oh, I hope not. But no, I mean, I dig it, of course, because it's got all the elements of a game for me. I was a big Fallout 3 fan, and really, I think Bethesda has just kind of become my big company, because I'm a single player person too. I've abandoned multiplayer almost completely because in order to play multiplayer, you have to put time into it. You have to invest money and time, and I have neither.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I haven't finished Skyrim yet because
who has?
Well, you're never...
I mean, some people have.
No one's ever truly done with Skyrim, right?
But for the most part, the only person I can think of off the top of my head would be Gerard the Completionist, did 100% Skyrim, which took him like 400 hours, I think.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Granted, that's his job, to complete a game he starts, so...
That's the difference.
And unfortunately, that is within one of the 120 episodes he said he's going to be redoing, so... Eventually, he will have to redo Skyrim.
So he's not done with Skyrim either. No one's ever done with Skyrim, including Bethesda.
You made your point.
But, I mean, it hits just the right tone for me, because I really like fantasy, but I also really like fantasy when it's kind of self-serious, and also, despite magic and... you know, crazy abilities and such like that, it strives to maintain its own reality. Like, you know, people said that about Game of Thrones for several years, like, oh, there's no magic, there's no dragons, there's no crazy... It's just, like, it takes place in a fantasy universe, but for the most part, it's pretty real. And then, of course, they started adding magic and dragons and all of that stuff. But, like, that was the hook for me, was here's a fantasy game that is pretty hardcore about the way it handles, you know, violence, starvation, politics. It's pretty real for the world that it takes place in. And I had never played a Morrowind game before. It makes me want to explore the series further. I don't know how much I really can, because I'm not going to play Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I really dug it, especially, it's really the closest thing to a true RPG that I can play at my leisure, at a ginger's pace. Because you can do whatever you want in Skyrim. I forget who it was. I think it was somebody on Polygon. They were striving to do a video series where they play as just a regular citizen in Skyrim.
Oh,
like, they just got a job and started doing that job and lived a life in Skyrim without going on a crazy adventure or answering the Joseph Campbell call to action or anything like that. And just like, nope, I'm going to be a normal person. I'm just going to hang here. I'm good here. I'm going to do this here. And the fact that you can do that is great. I love that.
Have you seen the person who figured out how to steal anything without being caught?
I heard about this, but I haven't seen it, no.
The Bethesda in making it, and to their credit, they made a giant game, so of course there's going to be oversights in how they programmed this thing.
Oh, sure.
Well, two oversights are going to occur here. First is that you can steal something as long as you're not within the line of sight of a guard. Second is you can put a bucket over a guard's head, and they don't consider that an assault or anything. The AI doesn't react to that. So the guy went around town and put buckets on every guard's heads and then stole everything with zero consequences because no one could see him. The guards are just like standing there, you know, in their guard poses with a bucket on their head, not reacting. And it's kind of beautiful. Like, there's moments like that where you remember, oh, yeah, video games are still just video games sometimes.
Well, that's what I love, though. That right there is that's what open world games should be. That's what makes, I mean, you know, everybody, if you're listening to this, you know that I'm a big Rockstar fan, and the Grand Theft Auto games, all the best moments of a Grand Theft Auto game are built on moments like that, where you figure out, oh, yeah, here's something that they really did not bake into the game, but I know the game well enough that I figured this out and I feel really smart for doing so. That's the whole point of an open world game, is not to break the game, but to manipulate it to a point where you've essentially broken the basic rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea of exploration, and that's what I love about games when they're done well like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's, I mean, who's gonna tell me that it's not a good game to pick is Skyrim, but I mean, that's a little bit of a cheat for me, I realize that, but I've been playing it for so long and I'm not even close to being finished with it. Because I also have small kids and they're terrified of this game because I think my son, this happened months and months ago. I was sitting and playing early in the morning on like a Saturday morning. That's when I do a lot of my gaming, is when everyone else is asleep. Not late at night, because my kids don't go to sleep at night. They wait until I fall asleep and then they wreck the house and then they go to sleep about the time I'm waking up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm up at like 6 a.m. on a Saturday because that's the only quiet time I get. And I've got the volume down pretty far. And I forget where I'm at, but I'm deep into a dungeon somewhere. And I come upon a stone statue that comes to life and starts talking to me. It's a god of some kind. It's some kind of deity that starts giving me a new quest. And my son had come wandering into the room without me knowing, because he's a little ninja. Mm-hmm. And he sees this evil dog statue glowing and talking to me in a scary voice. And he freaks, because he's also scared of dogs, big dogs.
Yeah.
He's fine with little dogs that are smaller than him, but he's tiny. So he sees an evil dog statue talking to me in a game, and he's just like, nope, I'm done. So I'm not allowed to put Skyrim on with them in the house.
Yeah.
But I really love the moments that I don't plan for in that game. I can't remember where I was where I got stuck in a trap of some kind, where I had a party member with me. And I had to race through a hallway, and it's a classic like Indiana Jones hallway with knives that drop down.
Mm-hmm.
And I could get through it just fine because I got my Dovahkiin powers.
Right.
But the dude with me, he's just running directly into knives.
Mm-hmm.
So the puzzle, instead of the puzzle being how do you get yourself through this without dying, it's like, no, that's simple. That's simple first level crap. How do you get through this puzzle without the person you're with dying? And that's a lot harder. And it became a whole different game for that reason. So the it eventually, after failing a couple of times and reloading, it was just a case of, do you just let him die and keep moving?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you figure out a different way to approach this? Or what? And that's a great moment in gaming for me, too, is this idea of, am I smart enough to save this idiot?
Yeah.
Or do I just let him run into knives and die and not feel too bad about it? Which is my first instinct, but I really liked having him backing me up in the fight that came after that, so I'm really glad that I stuck with it.
I have started playing Skyrim on the Switch.
How is it?
I never played it on any other system, so for me, the game is fine. I mean, it's a janky mess. The combat is not... I don't like the combat style. I don't like a lot of the game, but that's because I played in third-person mode because I'm a Khajiit, and this game is amazing because I'm a sneaky cat person. And that's all I cared about. Like, and I played in third-person mode, and everyone's like, but that's first-person, and everything gets better. I'm like, I don't care.
Well, yeah.
Because in first-person view, I can't see that I'm a cat.
I mean, that's true.
In third-person, I can see that I'm a cat. And, like, I, of course, even if you use the amiibo, so I have the Master Sword, and... The one downside to, like, the amiibo, like, things, because you can get a ton of crap with amiibo, but, like, the three main things you can get the Breath of the Wild, Hero's Tunic armor, you can get the Hylian Shield, and you can get the Master Sword.
Yeah, so you can essentially be Link and run around in Skyrim, and suddenly you've got yourself an R-rated Zelda game.
Essentially, the downside both ways is I got them... almost immediately, and I had to look up because I'm like, how do I use an amiibo on this? Because the game doesn't ever explain it, but you have the amiibo rune immediately. You can start using it like first thing as soon as you get out to the open world. So I got them pretty quick once I learned how to get them. Downside is the armor first is better than the base armor you can get, but then immediately is outclassed by, I think, the like iron armor set.
Yeah.
So... maybe it was the steel armor. I can't remember. I'm wearing heavy armor, immediately outclassed. I'm like, so I don't need to wear that armor. The shield is already immediately outclassed by like an iron shield I have, like a abandoned iron shield. And the Master Sword I'm using as a one-handed weapon because it actually is fairly strong. It's the strongest one-handed weapon I've found so far, but it's nowhere near the strongest weapon that I have. Like, I'm using an axe that's like a 32 power, and the Master Sword I think is a 16 power, so it's like...
that's pretty... yeah.
It's not... it's pretty good for a one-handed, and I think I can boost it, like, I can sharpen it to, like, a 17 or an 18 if I find some of that, or Killium, or Chalium, however you pronounce
that. That's decent for early in the game, too.
Yeah, and I've barely, like, the things I've done in this game, currently, my first mission that I gave myself was, I need to buy a house so I can adopt this orphan. That's my goal. Which I just did a couple days ago. I finished what I was doing, adopted the orphan. She was so happy. I went and slept in my own bed for the first time for 13 hours, woke up, and it said, you feel the love of a father. And I was like, yes, that's a really cool moment. And out of a game that I don't think is a stellar game, because it gives you so many options of how you want to play this and so many avenues you could play.
It's your game to lose.
Yeah, it's your game to lose, it's your game to have fun with, and if you don't have fun with it, that's kind of on you, and I feel that's fair.
Yeah.
Because, like, this overarcher story, I'm not, like, I don't yet know enough about the different factions to care. All I know is that I was able to buy a house and adopt an orphan, and she's stoked about that. And I'm a swole-ass cat man, and that's okay. So, that's all I care about. And I've killed a couple dragons... and the best moments, I've had a few moments where, like, early cave, I'm fighting a big-ass spider, and I kill the spider, and then this other guy's like, free me! I'm like, give me the golden claw, man! And he's like, oh, if you free me, I'll show you where it is! I'm like, okay, and I, like, get him out, and he's like, ha-ha, sucker! And he runs away, and I'm like, uh-uh, and I ran, like, I just sprinted after him, like, kill, 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 dead! And I'm like, took that from him, and I'm like, yeah! I feel pretty sufficient here. Like, I'm really smart and really good. Like, I killed a giant-ass spider. I killed this dude that betrayed me. I succeeded the mission. Let's keep going down this hallway. And I take a step into the hallway. And I look down. As I'm looking at the, down at the hallway, I see this weird, like, shape on the ground, and I step on it. I'm like, huh, I wonder what happens when I step on this. And I look up as the wall of spikes swings out and slams me and kills me immediately.
Yeah, I remember that moment.
And I'm pretty sure that Yakety Sax just kicked in. Which I wish that the Switch, you could add mods, because if I could, I would basically add a mod that every time I die, Yakety Sax starts playing, because that's really how I feel every time. I've had a couple great Yakety Sax moments. I had one where I, there was a big bridge full of bandits in these two, like, keeps, like, tall towers on either side of the bridge. And I wipe out the first tower, and I go to the, climb to the top of the tower, and I'm like, nothing up here. All right, let's head down the stairs. I'll just hop down to the bridge. Hop, not realizing it's just a little too far. Just jump down to the bridge, hit the bridge. Ugh, dead.
Oh.
Yakety Sax in my head. Like, let's do that encounter again. Thankfully, it wasn't too far back, but I was still like, wow, that was really stupid. That was Yakety Sax worthy.
Yeah, I've had those moments too.
Of course, Skyrim, though, not my favorite game of this year.
No.
No. Some people are going to assume it's Mario Odyssey. No. Second favorite game of the year is Mario Odyssey. First favorite game of the year that I played was Undertale.
Oh, okay.
I fell in love with this just as so many other people did a couple years back. And I played this game late, like a year or two late. And then I played it. And I had issues because I got it for my birthday last year in November. Didn't start playing it, I think, until December. Had some issues with the game where it couldn't really, it wouldn't start up. Like, there was some error, and eventually that got patched out, I believe, by the beginning of this year, so I was able to start playing it again. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll try playing it again now that it's back into it. And I then hit a point where I was just, like, ripping through it, and it started hitting me with so many different things that I'd seen that I didn't know to expect. And this was the first time I've played an indie game that stuck the landing for total BS, like, mind freak ending, where so many indie games, and I'm sick of this, because this is the first year I actually played Limbo, for anyone who's played Limbo.
Oh, I love Limbo.
I was interested in it. I got tired of it immediately, and I thought the ending really ticked me off, because so many indie games have this like, desire, I think, to just... And then I said something deep in the ending. It's like, but what did you say? Well, the ending is up for interpretation. I'm like, okay, get right out of here with that. Either, like, I just get sick of that. Like, cause it's, and it's not because I think that's a poor way to do that. I think it's, I just get really tired of the, okay, that problem is I've seen it too much. I've seen it way too much with indie games. Another one I did this year was Owlboy.
Mm-hmm.
Great game, beautiful game. Loved it until I got to the ending, and the ending's like, and then it's up for interpretation. I'm like, no, stop it. Learn to stick your landing. And Undertale, I felt, did that. Where Undertale's like, what is the ending? The ending is conclusive. I'm like, oh, that's kind of nice. Is it really? It's like, well, there's three possible endings and multiple variations of that. Like, but is that up for interpretation? It's like, no. But there are elements in the story that are definitely up for interpretation. I'm like, okay, but it's not annoyingly so. There's a lot. This game does a really good job of feeding you a basic story that you can follow. If you want to play it normally, you don't care about trying to diverge. And it also offers pretty, like, powerful feelings either way. If you decide to play it as a good person or a bad person, or however you decide to play this game, it's great. I love how often it kind of messes with conventions, and the music is just stellar. I mean, I've been obsessed with the music to the point that I love the soundtrack, and then I started just, like, half of this YouTube playlist that I've created for myself is just Undertale remixes, because they're, some of them are phenomenal.
Yeah, I think you've played me at least one of those.
At least. I absolutely love Undertale. It was my favorite game of this year, which is, again, not surprising. And thankfully, I jumped into it later. I wasn't paying attention, so I didn't really have anything spoiled for me, other than I knew that you could play it as a pacifist. So I knew I wanted to do that to begin with. So I didn't stumble upon the realization that I can be a pacifist. I just was. Don't know how I would have played the game if I didn't know that. I'd like to think that I would have done that anyway, but Because I usually try that in games that allow it. Like when I played Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes on the GameCube, when I knew that you could try to go through the game with just the dart gun and like put everyone to sleep, I was trying to do that until it hit a point where it's like, now you just basically have to use a machine gun or else you can't get by it, past this. I'm like, dang. So, love this game. That was my favorite game, 2017, that I played.
Right on.
Yeah.
How about the favorite thing that you read for this year?
Oh, man. Favorite thing that I read. I just, about an hour before we recorded this, I finished The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, yeah. I read that one, too, this year.
I am so pleased with myself because it took me like 4 years to read this because I took a long time in between. Like, I took some time off and came back and finished it this last year. I just ripped through like the second half of the book this year. But I'm really excited because, although, man, does it leave it on a cliffhanger. It's like, and then McKinley was shot and Roosevelt's like, he'll be okay. But then a telegraph comes for Roosevelt and he already knew what it said. I'm like, what did it say? I guess I'll have to read the next book in the biography to find out.
It's I haven't read the middle one of the, because it's a whole trilogy. There's The Rise, mm-hmm. there's Theodore Rex, and then the last one I think is called Colonel Roosevelt, which is his post-presidency career as just like a man about town.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are really comprehensive and I love them.
They're fantastic. I mean, it's helped me kind of better formulate an idea I've had for a story called Teddy Roosevelt versus the Kaiju.
Which I've heard about this story and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the whole premise is, what if like a Kaiju attacks the United States circa like 1905 and Teddy Roosevelt's president and he has to figure out how to stop a Kaiju with 1905 weaponry. So, like, the story is going to include a lot of train usage, because trains are, like, the best transport you got. A lot of horses. We're going to, like, shift everything to, like, the Midwest to fight them, to try to get it away from society.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty dope.
I like this idea. I think it would make a great, I think it would make a great comic book.
Oh, that's true.
And speaking of comic books, my favorite thing that I read this year is not from this year. It's from, I think, a couple of years, maybe 2015. But it's Brian K. Vaughan and, oh man, I'm blanking on the artist's name. I think it's, looking it up here. Hold on. Marcos Martin is the artist. And it's a webcomic that was called The Private Eye.
I have not heard of that one. I've read a handful of Brian K. Vaughan, but I haven't read that one.
Yeah, Brian K. Vaughan, everybody knows him from Saga, which I hear is great, and I haven't... it's too intimidating for me to start, but maybe I will.
He's writer of Saga? I didn't realize
that.
I don't know why I didn't realize
that. I think he was also Why the Last Man.
He was Why the Last Man, and he's Ex Machina. I think Ex Machina is probably my favorite thing I've read from him until Saga.
Ex Machina.
We'll see how Saga sticks the landing.
Yeah, there. Ex Machina was good too. But yeah.
His only fault that I have is that he does a lot with good stories, but he doesn't stick the landings, is what I've seen.
Well, that's that.
I thought that Why the Last Man ended poorly. I thought that Ex Machina ended poorly. I'm hoping that Saga does not end poorly.
Well, the thing I liked about The Private Eye was that it was self-contained. It was only like 10 issues or so. And I self-published by him and the artist, Marcos Martin. Hmm. And it's a sci-fi mystery series. Takes place in the future where the way they phrase it is the cloud has burst. So everyone's secrets are out in the open, potentially. And it gets to a point where people don't even go out in public anymore without wearing masks. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to be photographed. And it would instantly appear online. So basically the internet just doesn't even exist anymore because nobody wants their secrets out anymore. It's really interesting sci-fi. One of the few sci-fi things that you read anymore that actually takes into account, oh yeah, the internet kind of changes everything. Like, you think back to all the great sci-fi stuff and all of it is instantly changed by the concept of the internet. Like Blade Runner, fantastic movie based on a really kooky and weird book. Add the internet to Blade Runner, the movie, and you're like, that's suddenly it doesn't work very well anymore. And, you know, not to mention all the other things that are a reality now, like public surveillance, you know, that movie's entire, well, find the replicants plot. Hey, look, they're on this traffic cam. That's end movie. But yeah, no, it's a really fun, I love a Private Eye story, and I really love sci-fi Private Eye stories. So this was perfect for me.
Nice. Speaking of movies then, what was your favorite movie this year?
Ooh, boy. Right now, at least, and even though I've just seen The Last Jedi, I think I need to see The Last Jedi again. It's it does warrant multiple viewings, in my opinion. But right now, my favorite movie of 2017 that I got to actually see in 2017 would be The Big Sick. I really, really enjoyed that movie. It's a romantic comedy that is pretty real about, like, it's not one of those romantic comedies where it's all about formula and all of the conflict could be resolved just by people speaking a little bit more clearly about their emotions with each other. Nobody has a stupid movie job like an architect or a bakery owner or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fairly real story. It's Kumail Nanjiani and his wife Emily Gordon. It's their real story.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's a dark story because it's, I don't think I'm spoiling anything because it's right in the concept of the movie, but they dated for a couple of weeks and then she got really sick and had to be put in a medically induced coma. So a good portion of the movie and a good portion of the weeks that she was in the coma in real life was Kumail being like, okay, we're not really that committed to each other to the point where I'm like gonna make medical decisions about her and whatnot, but I'm here and I'm not gonna leave, because who would? And then he meets the parents and bonds with them over, you know, their feeling of helplessness. And the movie is great. Kumail Nanjiani has surprising acting range. I mean, I knew he was funny because I'm a Silicon Valley fan.
Yeah.
But he's actually a pretty good dramatic actor. And Ray Romano is fantastic in it. I didn't know I was going to be saying that in 2017. But Ray Romano is fantastic in this movie. Holly Hunter is great in it, too. I think she got nominated for a Golden Globe, possibly, recently. I don't know. But
I've been really looking forward to seeing that movie. I haven't seen it yet. I mean to see it, because I love the main actor there.
Yeah.
I can't remember how to pronounce his name, but I know it when I see it. And I know him when I see him, because he's been in, I mean, he's obviously been in Silicon Valley. I love him in Portlandia. He also plays various parts in that he's just, his comedic timing is hilarious, but his Twitter has definitely shown me, like, he's got a lot of depth to him. He's not just a brainless, like, goof actor. He's got a lot to say and to do, and I want to see a movie like this where he gets to say a lot.
I first heard the story of him and Emily, and they wrote the movie together, which is great because she's a great screenwriter, actually. And I first heard the story when he told the story to Eugene Merman, who folks might know as the voice of the son on Bob's Burgers, the voice of Eugene. And he has a show that was called Hold On, I think was the name of it, where comedians and famous folks come on the show and tell him a story, and then he can periodically interrupt them and say, all right, hold on, let's explore this for a second. And Kumail got on the show and told the story of, so I'm dating this girl for a couple of weeks, and then suddenly she's in a coma, and I stuck around, and now we're married. But he told the whole story, and flabbergasted Eugene Merman, and then said, oh yeah, and also, because she's white and I'm Pakistani, we had to have a traditional Pakistani wedding for my family, but the guy who was marrying us would refuse to marry me to a white person, so luckily the tradition is that we're actually in separate rooms when we're married, so he never saw her, and we had to give her a fake Pakistani name, and it's like this whole comedy of errors that could be easily could be a sequel to The Big Sick.
Nice.
But yeah, I recommend if anybody can find that show. I think it was on Audible for a while. Audible started launching shows that they refused to call podcasts, but that's basically what they are.
Of course.
And that was on there, and I heard that, and then when I heard, okay, they're making the coma story into a movie, I said, I gotta see that. And it's really good. I really liked it, and it's also one of the few movies that can portray stand-up comedy a little bit better than the majority do. Stand-up comedy is really hard to portray in a movie because the spontaneity isn't there, you know? It's canned material, and that's really rough. You know, case in point is like a movie like Funny People, which isn't necessarily a straight-up comedy. That's got a lot of drama in it, and I actually like that movie a lot better than most people do because I went in knowing this movie's going to get dark. But the problem with Funny People is that a lot of the stand-up material is not great. And in order to buy into the movie, you have to just kind of suspend your disbelief and say, okay, let's say that that was a great bit. But The Big Sick actually does pretty good with it because there's plenty of opportunities for several stand-up comedians to go up and either fail spectacularly or absolutely kill. And Kumail does both, which is great. Nice. It's almost as much fun to watch him completely die on stage as it is to watch him kill with some of his real material. So I liked it a lot. It's really good romantic comedy that doesn't feel like a cynical romantic comedy.
Nice. Well, I, of course, have completely the opposite. My favorite movie this year was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
That's a fair one.
Because I am a filthy casual when it comes to movies. Which is not completely true. Like I like smaller movies. I like weirder, more indie type movies and like off kilter movies. So I really want to see The Big Sick. I'm looking forward to that. But I didn't see it this year because I saw basically the big Marvel tentpole movies as usual. And Thor Ragnarok I really loved, but Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 edged it out for my favorite of the year.
I do agree with you. I do think that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is the better Marvel movie, even though I did also love Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, the thing that I like about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, that it's been sentimented from so many people. I don't know if you can say that. It's been sentimented. The sentiment of many people, I share the same sentiment.
There you go.
It's fun. It's just fun, and it makes me feel good. And that's the big thing that DC is still borking so bad.
They're getting better. I will say they're getting there. They're really trying.
They just needed to get this. They took too much time to get to this point where they realized, oh, sometimes people want to see this big stupid movie to see the big stupid action heroes do something that makes everyone happy, as opposed to, oh, it's so grimdark and oh, it's so depressing. Oh, the realities. I don't want to see the realities. I want you to make me care. I want you to remind me that, hey, you know, sometimes movies are fun.
Well, a slight tangent on that. Justice League is fine. It's fine. It's not half as grimdark as the last two Zack Snyder ones.
I'm sure I'll see it next year sometime.
Give it like an HBO watch or a streaming watch. It's definitely worth that.
Yeah. But with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, I was immediately into it because the first scene is like, hey, this is just fun. We're gonna frame this scene in a really interesting way where the Guardians are fighting a new alien threat that we don't know anything about. Let's throw you into the action. And Groot's going to dance.
Yeah.
Baby Groot's going to just dance to the sequence. It's going to look cool. It's going to make you happy. You're already going to be in a good mood as soon as you start this. And we're going to keep that good mood going, even though we're going to hit you with some pretty harsh stuff.
Yeah, it does get pretty crazy by the end.
you're going to have to deal with Star-Lord's mother issues and father issues. You're going to have to deal with Rocket and Yanu dealing with that whole partnership and what it really means to be an outcast.
In a perfect world, Michael Rooker would get an award of some kind for his role of Yondu in that movie. He's fantastic.
I mean, he's got the award of the fans and of the people, basically. Like, they love him, and they've basically said, this character that was kind of weird in the first one, he's endeared to us. We love him so much. Gamora and her sister, was it Nebula?
Yeah, Nebula.
Did I get that right? Yeah. Their relationship is like, there's a lot of subtlety here and a lot of depth, but at the same time, they're not going to go too crazy on it. You can think deeply. You can think surface level. I like, sometimes that's kind of all I can handle. And it's not that I'm not this weird plebeian like moviegoer. I like deeper movies. I like movies that are harder and that force you to like them or force you not to like them or whatever. I like those, but 2017 was exhausting.
That's true.
And I just don't have any more space in my head for nuance and for maybe it'll get better. I just want to see a movie that's like, we're gonna stop the bad guys and we're going to win the day. And you're going to have fun and we're going to be flawed people, but we're all going to be a family and the end is going to be great. I'm like, you know, yeah, that's what I like to see. And of course, Marvel's got me jazzed for Infinity War. They've got me so jazzed for Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther looks awesome. Fun.
Yeah. They've got me stoked. And although, like, we'll briefly mention this, the whole, like, now that Fox, 20th Century Fox, is going to be under Disney's banner, they officially have all of their toys back.
Yeah, and then some.
And then some, which is like, I don't know. The one hand, it's like, yay, they got all their toys. The other hand is like, we do know that this is a weird mega monopoly that is not really okay, guys.
I'm creeped out by
it.
I'm very creeped out by it. But as I said on Twitter the day that it happened, it could be worse. At least they didn't sell to Comcast.
Yeah, that's true.
And, I mean, I would like less of a monopoly because it really does seem like everything comes out of three companies anymore. But we'll wait and see, I guess.
We will.
At very least, I like the fact that Disney buys... Typically, they buy companies and then they let that company exist on its own and then they just take the money. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's worked with Lucasfilm for the most part. You know, your mileage may vary on these new Star Wars movies. I like them and they're certainly making the money. And then it's worked with Marvel. It could very well work with a lot of these Fox properties, even though that, I mean, it's not a case of they bought the company. They just bought a whole lot of the IP in this case. But a lot of that IP is going directly to Marvel. So I trust Marvel Studios implicitly. But I don't know. We'll wait and see. We might not even notice. You know, it might not even be that big to us as consumers, other than hey, we get a good Fantastic Four finally.
It's true. All right, so we have a little under 2 minutes left.
Oh, holy cow!
Before our alarm. So in doing so, I'm going to try to lightning round review every game I've played on the Switch this year, starting with my favorite, which is Mario Odyssey. 10 out of 10. Not my favorite Mario game. The reason being for that is these are really big worlds with a lot of stuff to do, but not a lot to remember in. I just, like, not a lot of platform. This is, feels like the least amount of platform I've ever had in a Mario game. But it was a lot of fun. Loved it. 10 out of 10. Love Mario, of course. First games I got, Splatoon 2. It's just Splatoon 1. Nope. No thanks. Still great, because I like Splatoon 1. But it's not good enough. Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Fun concept, really crazy. I've talked about this a little bit before. Loved that. Thought that was really cool. Very interesting. Played Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. No thanks. This is the only Mario Kart game we're going to get for the Switch. That ticks me off. It makes me sad. And I don't know why anyone is still rooting for Smash Brothers 4 to show up in a port, because then we won't get a new Smash Brothers for the Switch. Stop rooting for that, guys. Ask for a new one. Ask for Smash 5 for Switch. That's what you want. Play Skyrim, as I mentioned. I'm playing it now. Currently love it. You heard about it all this time because I'm a swole-ass cat person who just bought a house and got an orphan. So things are going well for me there.
So I got that going for me, which is nice.
So I got that going for me. Played ARMS, didn't like it. I'll play it more eventually when I can rent it from the library. Renting from the library is awesome. Just rented 88 Heroes for Switch. It's okay. Played it once, was done with it. Binding of Isaac plus Afterbirth, or Afterbirth Plus. Played it on the Switch, Scott said, okay, done. Sent that back to the library. Super Bomberman R, played it once, sent it back to the library. Fate Extella, something like that. Some weird thing that's like a Dynasty Warriors type game. Didn't like it. Sent it back to the library. Breath of the Wild. Boy, I could say a lot about Breath of the Wild. I have, and I'll probably say a lot more. But I didn't get it on Switch, so I don't know if I can really give a fair review since I didn't get it for Switch.
Oh, that's right, huh?
Yeah. I don't know if that's really fair or not. But I was not super into Breath of the Wild, even though I admit it's a great game. I don't know if it's necessarily Game of the Year, like people are saying, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's the time. Why didn't my alarm go off? Oh, that's why. That's why I set it for 9:22. Well, I thought it was going to hit perfectly there. Well, the alarm...
Well, let me sneak in here with my... Because I mentioned Wolfenstein The New Order a bunch, but I didn't actually talk about it.
All right, you've got another 2 minutes, Kyle.
I'll do less than 2 minutes. I love this game. It's exactly what I wanted. And it... Here's the thing. It's a Wolfenstein game. It's about shooting Nazis. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And that's great. That's all I needed out of a game. But it also managed to surprise me several times, which is great. And for a game about a meathead who kills Nazis and that's it, it's got surprising amount of depth and emotion to it. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of characters that are more than one-dimensional NPCs or one-dimensional targets to be blown to pieces, and I love it. Mm-hmm. It's great. I can't wait to play The Old Blood, which I'll probably jump into in a bit, and then I definitely want to get the new Colossus, because I gotta see how that works out, because the ending of The New Order is... I'm not sure how you sequelize that, because I don't know anything about the new Colossus yet. So, can't wait to jump into that, and I'll just finish by saying... I got to shoot Nazis on the moon.
Oh.
To go to the moon. I got to go to the moon and shoot Nazis, and that music is perfect for that.
It's decided. That's how every single episode will end from now on.
I like it.
So now we know.
All right. Well, with that, we should probably call it.
We will call it. Kyle, how can people reach you?
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Martinak, or you can find anything that comes out of the blog or the podcast at media_sandwich. And then you can also email us at the show at media. I got to remember it now. it's at mediasandwichshow@gmail.com.
Is there an... There's actually an at in our email.
No.
Okay, so
no.
mediasandwich_show@gmail.com.
No underscore.
mediasandwichshow@gmail.com. Okay. You can find...
Or just leave a comment on the website.
Yeah.
Just do that.
You can also reach me on Twitter at @thechrispranger. There are other Chris Prangers in the world, but I am the Chris Pranger.
And that'll do it. And also, we're on Facebook. We got a Facebook page as well, so jump onto there. Just search for Media Sandwich Podcast Show, and mm-hmm. we're on there as well.
And next time, who knows when we'll be back next time. Of course, end of the year is busy for everybody, but we're going to try to get together face-to-face again, and we'll do another one of these silly podcasts, whatnot, what say.
Sounds good.
It'll be the 2018 speculative, like, what kind of year is 2018 going to be? We will find out.
And in between that, there's plenty of stuff on the blog that you can read that's mostly me just writing whatever. I got Letterboxd reviews, which are my movie reviews that I also put on my Letterboxd page. I'm doing Lion Face, Lemon Face, which is my thing about acting. And then I've started doing mobile game reviews, which I call Casual Friday because it comes out on Friday and it's casual gaming.
Perfect.
And... yeah, there's lots of stuff on there, which is just at www.media-sandwich.blogspot.com until we buy a domain.
All right, that does it for us. We will see you next year. See you next year.
Bye-bye.
It's fun to make phrases. You know me. Be like, as cold as penguin tears outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I once said it was hot as scorpion piss.
You did. I think I started coming up with, like, little kitty versions of it. It's cold as a snowflake's grandmother.
That doesn't even make sense.
Sure it does. Snowflake's grandmother would be nice and cold because it would also be a snowflake.
Well, aren't we all snowflakes?
Mm-hmm. We are precious little snowflakes, according to some people. In politics. Sorry, some people in power.
Anyways.
No politics.
No.
Welcome to the no politics zone.
No bummers, no bummers. No whammies, no whammies.
No bummers. No whammies, no whammies, no whammies. Stop! Oh, whammies!